believers may build up treasures in heaven by their Christian comportment. On today's broadcast titled, In All Things, Give Thanks, Bishop Omega delivers an enlightening message on the Christian perspective of obstacles and struggles encountered in life, reminding us that God is in control of everything. The principal text begins in the book of 1 Thessalonians, 5th chapter, 13th verse.
I have today for you a good one. Something you hear quite often, right? Like every Sunday. But today, I want to use what is called the Socratic method. And I've mentioned this before. It's from the philosopher Socrates, an ancient Greek philosopher, who used a certain form of argument, meaning he used a logical form of, if this is true, and this is true, and this is true, then how can this not be true? So that's the sort of method I want to start with, so that no one is perturbed from the term Socratic, from Socrates, who was a teacher of Plato, as you may well remember. But I want to start off by asking you this, and I'm sure everyone in here is going to answer in the affirmative. Are you a Christian?
Yes, sir.
We all know it. How many of you honestly believe that God is in control of everything? Right? No matter what happens, no matter how you understand it, whether you like it or not, diagnosis of cancer, AIDS, is God in control of everything or is he not?
Yes,
whether you understand it or not, is he in control? So if something happens and we don't like it, see, I'm tired of people saying this, and then when something happens, the last thing you do is thank the Lord. If he's in control of everything, and he is, remember when he said, all power is given to me. Now, it's after the resurrection, because before the resurrection, he put aside a lot of his powers, if you will, right? And he manifests that he wasn't aware of everything all the time because he put aside some of his powers. Is that not true? Everyone that knows the scripture knows that is true. But when he came up, see, let me give you one example. Remember before the resurrection, he said he didn't know when he was coming back. He said the angels in heaven don't know. He said, no, not even the Son of Man. But when he came up out of the grave, he said all power. So he knew exactly when he was coming back, right? So if a gnat dies in China, or if there's a head-on collision and someone unfortunately died, he was in control. Is that true or not? Thus, the scripture, in all things, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Now, in all things give thanks because this is what God wants for you. This is the will of God concerning you means because this is what God wants you to do. God wants you to give thanks. You just got an F on your exam. Thank the Lord. No, you're not happy, giddy, goofy, happy, but you're thanking the Lord because he allowed it. It could be your poor study habits. And you didn't study, but he did allow you to get an F. So whatever happens, God has allowed. Is that not true? How many of you believe that he knows what he's doing? This is the Socratic method now. This is not a setup. This is just simply, if you're answering yes to all of this, you're going to have to answer yes to the rest of the message. He knows what he's doing, doesn't he? If you are unhappy about something in life, did he allow it or did he not? Now, he has also told you to obey him. So if you don't obey him in all things and things happen, he still allowed that to happen. How many of us believe his judgments are correct? Right? No one wants to question God. That's what you say now. But when something happens, some of us, the last thing we do is say, thank you, Jesus. We go, why is this? It's not fair. Why does she get this and I don't get that? People are like that. But who allowed it? Are we on? This preamble is going to take a minute, so you may as well just get some patience. Because I want to see if we're Christians in here. And you said at the beginning, yes, we're Christians. Well, let me tell you what Christians do. They agree with their Lord. And you just said, whatever happens, and it's the truth, the Lord has allowed it. All Christians have to agree to that. How many of us believe that all human beings should obey God? Right? Whatever happens to you, he allowed it, right? Everyone should obey God. Now, does everyone obey God? So when something goes wrong, you can say nothing but thank the Lord. Thus, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in all things give thanks. Before we move on, I'm trying to establish this, that there is a reason why. People say, why should I give thanks? I just found out that I have inoperable cancer. That there's no cure. I'm going to die. First of all, you should be getting ready to see the Lord. But no one likes to go through pain and suffering and trouble. But let me ask you this. Who allowed you to go through the pain and suffering and trouble? What does he want you to do when you're going through the pain and suffering and trouble? Call on him, thank him, pray to him, get ready to meet him, whatever it is. Is this not the truth? This is what Christians believe. Before you leave here today, everyone in here of a certain age is going to know whether he or she is a Christian or not. Because if you disagree with the word, you're not. You're going to tell on yourself. If you amen, though, if you agree with the word, that's all amen means, I agree. If you agree with the word, you're going to see that you are a Christian. No one says you came up to every standard perfectly all the time. No, we all fall short of the glory of God. But we agree God is right. And all his judgments are correct. And there's nothing wrong with planning to do something. But if something happens and you can't do it, who do you think changed it? Give me Bible. No. Listen, let me tell you something. Is there something wrong with planning? No, you're supposed to plan. Every smart person plans, right? But if something happens to your plans, who do you think changed it?
God.
Then don't be slow to say that. It may come in the form of brother so-and-so. That's all you saw. But if you planned something and it changed, God allowed it. The Bible puts it this way. God changed it. The Bible says, you planned, God acts out. But it reads this way in Proverbs.
Proverbs 16:9. A man's heart deviseth his way.
Well, stop. A man's heart's not talking about the mechanical thing in your chest. You plan in your head. You plan something. A man's heart does
what? A man's heart deviseth his way.
A man plans something.
But the Lord directeth his steps.
But whatever happens, God allowed. Do you understand what that's saying? That's why James said, we're going to go tomorrow and we're going to build and we're going to do this. And the Lord says, here comes a thunderstorm. Or you couldn't get the supplies you need. So you good that you planned. Good. But what actually happens is what God allowed.
Amen.
So a man, you can plan all you want. It's nothing wrong with planning. It's very good to plan. In fact, you should plan. But as soon as something changes to your plans, I just want you to know this. No matter who the person was that seems to have changed it or what the circumstance was that seems to have changed your plans, it actually was God.
Amen.
Proverbs 19:21 puts it this way.
There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand.
Dude, does anyone know what that means? There are a lot of things man comes up with. But whatever God wants is going to happen.
Amen.
Do you see what I'm saying? Saints, you plan for this and you plan for that. And then when something happens, we go, oh, we lose it. But don't you know it was God that allowed it? And in fact, Proverbs has told you God did it.
Amen.
No way. God did not give my kid Down syndrome. Who else gave it to him? Now, you may say the devil did. But who allowed it? Who's stronger, the devil or God?
God.
Do you understand what this Bible is saying? This is the word of God. It's not my opinion. And you all, using the Socratic method, you said that you honestly believe in your heart God's in control. You honestly believe you're a Christian. You believe he knows what he's doing. You believe his judgments are correct. You believe all human beings should obey him. You believe whatever happens to you, he allows. Since you agreed with all of that, you better not say no to anything today when we're talking about what God allows. You understand what I'm saying? Saints, this is just the truth. Many Christians don't preach it because they don't. It doesn't sound good. Or doesn't sound, how many of you, it doesn't sound like what we would do. How many of you would chart out for yourself a life of pain? Not one human being. If you had the power, you would chart out a path of comfort, luxury, love, the best meals, the best clothing, the best looks, the best health. If you charted it out, are you wiser than God?
No,
so what did he chart out in your life? God did not allow child abuse in my life. Who allowed it? Is it for a reason that you have no idea? Let's go to Romans. Let's try Romans 11:33.
Romans 11, verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments.
Stop. Oh, the depths and riches of... Now, listen, child abuse is wrong for humans to do. But I'm asking you something. Who allowed it? Now, why did he allow it? Oh, the depths and riches of the wisdom, of both the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable, how inscrutable. You can't imagine. You don't know why he allowed it. Is he planning for that boy or that girl that was abused? Is he planning for them in glory, something you can't even... You don't know. Whatever happens, we give thanks. We do what we can within the reasoning that God gives us to correct situations. But if God has allowed something, God has allowed it.
Amen.
Now, the person that did it is wrong. But did God allow it? For example, Judas betrayed Christ, and Christ called him the son of hell. Judas was also used by God to do what he did. But the evil in Judas was on Judas.
Yes, sir.
So he still did it, though. So, and he will be punished for it. So the child abuser is wrong and will be punished for it. But we don't know the wisdom of God. We don't know why God allowed it.
Amen.
And compared to God, we are less than a microscopic speck to try to figure him out. The scripture says here, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. You can't know.
That's right.
You're talking about God. That's why in all things, give thanks. I'll tell you this, the happier, more contented, more pleasant person is somebody who follows the guidelines that Jesus left.
Yes, sir.
The Christian, let me tell you, he tells us the exact playbook how to get through this life. When you don't follow it, that's when you walk around constantly angry at the world.
Mm-hmm.
But when you learn to, terrible accident, ka-pa-pow. Right away, oh, Lord, my insurance is going to go up. Oh, thank the Lord. Calm. Thank the Lord. Jesus allowed this for some reason. Now, we'll deal with the human problems. But first, in all things.
Amen. 1 Thessalonians 5:18.
18.
In everything, give thanks.
No, some... See, saints, everything. When I bring up the child abuse, I do that on purpose. Because the Bible brought it up.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't hear child abuse in everything?
Yes,
when I brought up the cancer, the AIDS, the drug addiction, the whatever, it's give thanks. He didn't say thankful. Oh, there's some good drugs right here, man. That's not why he's saying it. He allowed you to succumb to that weakness because you didn't follow his blueprint for living.
Amen.
But now you're going to get straight and get in the word. As Jesus told that woman, now sin no more.
Amen.
Yes, the sinner, sir, that said, have mercy on me, a sinner.
Yes, sir.
Now, when you walk away, now sin no more.
Yes,
but
sir.
That's my weakness, all right? You're not doing it with impunity. That's your problem, is that you're addicted to this or that. But you don't do it with impunity. Amen. I'm thankful. I got a drug addiction. Thanks. That's not, he's saying be thankful that God has allowed you whatever circumstance he allowed you, but he's given you a remedy for it all.
Amen.
Rely on him. Pray to him. Call on him. depend on him.
Amen.
And not your own reasoning and your own, lean not on thine own understandings. Doesn't it say that?
Yes, sir.
But what does man want to do? You know better than God. We ignore the blueprint that God has left here for us.
Amen.
Read James, please. James 4. Did we finish the Proverbs?
May I do Romans?
Yeah,
Romans 11:33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom.
Oh, the depth. Do you understand what Paul is saying? He's realizing, oh, man, as we would say in the vernacular today, oh, man, God is deep. Mm. Oh, the depth. It's coming to him. He's realizing the depth and riches, both of his wisdom
and knowledge of God.
And the knowledge of God.
How unsearchable are his judgments.
You can't even begin to understand them.
And his ways past finding out.
And what he does, it's no way you can possibly know why he did what he did. His ways past finding out.
For who hath known the mind of the Lord?
Which human being here knows the mind of God? We know is what he has revealed to us.
Yes, sir.
In his word.
Or who hath been his counselor?
Which one of you gave God advice? When you take this, as I'm saying, when I ask that, and sometimes in levity, who here gave God advice? The point is, now think about what that is asking. If you didn't give him advice, how dare you have an opinion against what he has allowed?
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Do you see the logic in that?
Yes.
If you didn't advise him, hey, you know, I think you ought to make a human being stand up on two legs and have 2 feet, 2 ears, 2 eyes, and put an orifice here and an orifice here and other places, and you do that. Who advised God? So if you didn't advise him in anything, when something happens, why is your opinion? You have nothing to say. But thank the Lord.
Amen.
Thus today's message, in all things give thanks. Mm-hmm. And I'm doing this because people always say, well, why should I be thankful? Here I am. I'm in a housing situation where I'm almost homeless. My husband is mean to me, and my children are disobedient. I can't find a job. The dog doesn't like me. The this and that. Everything is going wrong. What should I be thankful for? Because he said, in all things be
yes,
thankful.
Amen.
And he says, who advised God? Who was his counselor?
Yes.
Or who first gave to him that he now owes you?
That's right. Amen.
I was go back to my favorite, one of my favorites, that addresses this point. You're praying, Lord. Lord, take these migraines from me in Jesus' name. Lord, take them from me. Lord says, shut up, I saved you. Yeah. Oh, you know it as my grace is
Amen.
Sufficient.
Amen.
That's what he's saying. Be quiet, I saved you,
yes,
believer.
Amen.
Now, don't you know that's enough? Who has first given to him, God, and it should be repaid to, and God owes you?
No.
He doesn't owe us a thing.
Amen.
First of all, he was gracious enough to give you salvation. Someone will say, well, I wish I was never born. Guess what? You are. You're here. And now that you're here, you can either obey him and thank him in all things, or you can sit there and gripe and complain, which is futile. It means nothing.
Yes, sir.
Because he saved you. That's enough. God doesn't owe us anything. But he put me here. Why did he allow me to be a slave? He put me here. Why did he allow me to suffer from this disease or that disease? And my child has this or that. God knows what he's doing. We just, you know what? Some preachers really get under my skin. Just tell the people. There's a lot of things we don't know and are not supposed to know.
Right.
Until that day we see him face to face. It's in the scripture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How unsearchable.
Doesn't it say, now we see dimly as through a glass.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And back then when he says through a glass, that's the modern English translation, they used a metal reflecting metal, which was really unclear. So he's saying that's how clear our vision is now compared to knowing all things. You were about to read?
How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out.
You can't know past finding out. You can search all you want until you see him face to face. And I'll tell you this. Even with the Holy Ghost now, if he was to lay on us why he did this, we couldn't handle it. You're still mortal. Your head would literally explode. No, not figuratively. Literally. Babu. Can you imagine? How do you think this little human head can hold God's wisdom?
Yeah.
And here the universe can't hold him.
That's true. Very true.
Think about, I'm saying this, so we think about who, with whom you're dealing.
Amen.
I'll say it one more time. We're talking about God.
Amen. Yes, sir.
This is why we're to be thankful in all things. Well, how can I be thankful for things I just don't understand? Be thankful for that.
Yes, sir.
Maybe if you did understand what it is you're trying to understand, you might get conceited too. You might get big-headed. Right? In all things, give thanks.
Amen.
And here's, thank God for the things that you don't get. I just don't get it. Don't you know that pleases him? Because you're walking in faith. Well, Lord, you said it, so I thank you. Now, if walking by sight means I see it, I have laboratory proof, now I'll believe. God said, that doesn't please me.
No, sir.
That doesn't please him.
No, sir.
You need 1 + 1 = 2. I get it. Makes sense to my little human mind. God says, no. Hear my word.
Yes,
say amen to it. Live it. And when you don't live it, repent. Come on back to me and live it.
Amen.
But always give thanks.
Amen.
Because I, God, know what I'm doing.
Yes, sir.
And my ways are past finding out. You couldn't begin. None of my judgments are wrong.
Amen.
You know, he knows why that space shuttle blew up in 88. He knows.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
With so many people watching, he knows why the war broke out in Sudan, South Sudan. He knows.
Yes, sir.
He knows why he allows so many deaths in today's Yemen. He knows.
Amen.
I'll tell you this, and I hope I'm coming home clearly to you. When you don't give him thanks, you're proving you're not Christian.
Yes, sir.
Because Christians agree with God.
Amen.
And God, whatever has happened, he's allowed it. If he didn't allow it, let's take off the large L of Lord. Because he's not in control then.
Amen.
But you all said, and I say he is.
Yes, he is.
So whatever happens... Whatever happens,
yes, sir.
We thank the Lord.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Let's give him some more scripture.
All right.
James 4.
James 4:13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow.
All right. But James is not saying something is wrong with planning.
No, sir.
He's saying plan.
Yes, sir.
Simone, it's all right. Plan. But if God, I'm just one of the sweetest young ladies in the church. But if God changes your plan,
that's right.
This is what James is saying here. It's all right.
Yes, sir.
To plan. What did he say? He said, don't say we're going to go here and do business and do business. Don't say that. Without saying something else. He's not saying don't plan.
Amen.
Carry on.
Verse 14, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow.
You don't know what's happening tomorrow. So you can plan for it. No, there's nothing wrong with planning for it, yes?
For what is your life?
What is your life?
It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away.
You're just a human. You're here for a speck in terms of time, yes?
For that ye ought to say.
Here's what you ought to say.
If the Lord will.
If the Lord will.
We shall live.
This is what I'm planning to do. See, all he's saying is, he's not saying don't plan. It's very good to plan.
Yes, sir.
In fact, the scripture says, what king goes into battle without sitting down and counseling with his counselors, his generals and his colonels and his, So it's good to plan. But notice this and understand this. When those plans change, God did it. That's why he says, plan, but say, Lord willing. All right, now, I said none of you, none, not one of us, would plan a life of hardship for himself. Not one. Let me tell you, hardship is necessary. When you've had to suffer,
yes, sir.
When you've had to go through things, let me tell you this. There is no shiny piece of gold that hasn't gone through the fire.
Very true.
Right? Mm-hmm. It takes refining. The Lord knows what he's doing. That's why he charts our path for us.
Amen.
Your steps are ordered by the Lord, meaning the Lord knows what he's doing. He's told us in this book what to do, how to live our lives.
Amen.
But none of us, if it was up to us, we would not do that. But did God the Father do it for Jesus?
Yes, sir.
Gave him a life of suffering, and the scripture, Hebrews. And the scripture tells us that through suffering,
amen,
in his life, Jesus was equipped to go do the cross thing.
Amen.
But he puts it in words like this that most people don't even understand when they read it.
Hebrews,
or I should say, a lot of people don't.
Hebrews 5:8, though he were a son.
Stop there. That presupposes, that assumes that a son is at the top, or child, is at the top of the list of favor with the parent.
Yes, sir.
Why would you make a son or a daughter, a child, suffer? But it's saying, though he were the most favored, that's why it starts out with, though he were a son.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Are we getting that? Before we get to the next part, it's saying, though he was God's own son, why would you make a son suffer? And if a son was made to suffer, who are you not to?
That's right. Amen.
This is what the word is saying. I want you to get this now. He's saying, if God has planned a hard life of suffering for Christ, what do you think he's planned for you?
Yes.
Read it this way.
Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience.
Yet he learned obedience. Obedience for what? To be able to go to that cross.
Amen. Yes, sir.
You are listening to a message titled, In All Things, Give Thanks, preached by His Eminence Bishop Omega from the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ of the Apostolic Faith, located at 701 South 22nd Street, Apostolic Square, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Please mail all correspondence to 701 South 22nd Street, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19146, or email your communication to Preacher701@cljcoaf.org to order sermons, CDs, and DVDs. Visit our website at www.701recordsshop.com. We now rejoin this message.
Yes?
Yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered.
No, you don't want your kid to suffer.
Yet?
You want him to go to the best military academy schools, the best foods in the world, only he eats the best this, the best that. I want this for my love, my son. You better make sure that child goes through something.
Yes.
No, I'm not saying, listen, saying, so let's not get this wrong, because you got some dads that say, see, wait till I get you home. No. Point is, you don't make life, even for your own child, you don't do that. You correct them when they're wrong.
Yes, sir.
You teach them to do chores.
Yes.
You teach them to get up on time. You teach them to do this and to do that. You teach your kid things.
Amen.
And
amen.
Life will give him or her enough suffering.
Yes, sir.
So for those of you that just love whipping up on people, now I'm not saying that.
Yes, sir.
Life is going to do that enough.
Amen.
But you don't take every challenge out of their lives. This says, talking about Jesus, though he was a son,
yes,
yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered.
Yes.
And having been perfected,
mm-hmm.
Now of course you say, I thought Jesus had no sin. That's not, stay in context here. Having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to those who obey him. Having gone through all the suffering that God put in his life and allowed in his life, he was equipped enough to go right to that cross and get me eternal salvation.
Yes, sir.
That's what that says.
Amen.
Now, if he didn't go through the suffering in life that God allowed in his life, look at all the stuff Jesus went through. Insults. His own disciples around him not getting it. You can almost see Jesus going, oh, here we go again. Didn't I just tell you all I have to go to the cross? Peter said, you're not going to the cross. Peter, if I have to tell you one more time. So he suffered like sort of revolt by his own closest. And this is the Lord from heaven. But through all the suffering, he learned to be obedient. He said, this is what the Father has ordained for me. The Father has ordained a life of rigidity, not comfort. Foxes had holes.
Amen.
Birds had nests.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus was homeless. Yet the whole world belonged to him. He could have gone to Herod's palace and said, move, this is mine. No, he didn't do that. Jesus slept outside. I mean, listen, of course, sometimes he took the hospitality of certain people. But he owned the whole, well, he owned everything. Everything was made by and for him. Everything is through him.
Yes, sir.
Yet he's sleeping out. And others, even Peter had a house. John Mark had a pretty big house. His mother was well-to-do. Others had, Paul comes from a pretty good background. And here's the Lord himself, sleeping on the ground. Isn't this something? But would you have charted that for your son? No, but God did.
Amen.
This is the life God the Father charted for his own beloved son. That's why it starts off, though he was a son.
Amen.
God gave him a life of hardship.
Yes, sir.
Because it made him ready to go get me salvation on that cross.
Thank the Lord.
It made him ready.
Yes, sir.
He was perfected through the things he suffered.
Amen.
So, I mean, if the Lord blesses you with a good life, live it.
Amen.
But always be ready for it to be taken. And if something is taken, if an unfortunate diagnosis does come, if whatever it is happens to you that's less than something you would have ordered, always give thanks.
Yes, sir.
In all things, give thanks. But please do not go out and tell someone I said that we're happy. There's a difference in giving thanks and being happy about calamity. Amen. We're not happy to see the children starving in Darfur. We're not happy, but I thank the Lord for some reason he allowed it.
Yes, sir.
You see the bloated stomachs in the little kids in Ethiopia and Somalia and different places and now Yemen. And we're not happy, but I say thank the Lord. So get the proper context here. We're thankful that somehow this all-powerful, loving God, whose ways are beyond understanding. I just
Amen.
Can't get them. You won't get them. I won't get them.
That's right.
We won't be able to understand them, but we thank the Lord.
Amen.
And I'm going to let him be God, and
yes.
I'm going to be his humble servant, who I only want to hear one day say, well done, come into the joy of your Lord. That's what I'm waiting to hear.
Amen.
But until that day comes, and after that day comes, let's let him be God.
Amen. Amen.
And we'll be his loving servants who love one another and are gentle and kind with one another.
Yes, sir.
Can I get an amen?
Amen.
See, we have to. Always and everything, amen. Thank
amen.
The Lord.
Yes, sir. Isaiah 55:9.
That just means God does it.
For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts.
Let me tell you this, too. Go to Luke, please. Luke 9:21. Jesus gave us a clue here. When he says, you're reasoning like human beings, that's saying more than it sounds like. Luke 9:21.
And he straightly charged them and commanded them to tell no man that thing, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be slain and be raised the third day.
And did you all hear that? The Son of Man must suffer. I want you to hear these key words. Jesus is saying, listen, I must suffer many things. Mm-hmm. Yes?
23. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me.
Stop. Stay there. And he strictly warned them to say nothing about it. The Son of Man must suffer many things. Now jump on down to.
If
anyone comes after me.
Let him deny himself.
Let him also get ready to suffer.
Yes, sir.
He says it by saying.
Let him deny himself and take up his cross.
What does that mean, take up his cross? Suffer.
Suffer.
He's saying, saints, he's saying, I must suffer many things. The cross being the ultimate suffering. Now he's saying, you want to be like Jesus? This is Jesus talking. You want to be like me? You want to follow me? Save up your money for a yacht. That's what he says. Didn't you see that? You didn't say that? No, he didn't say that. He says,
if any man will come after me, let him deny himself.
Don't get the... Now listen. If you're rich enough to own a yacht, own a yacht. You understand what I'm saying? But he's saying, let this not be your focus. But if you really want to be like I am, you want to come after me.
Take up your cross.
Take up your suffering.
Daily.
On weekends.
Daily.
Annually.
Daily.
Every day. Saints, see, this language, you know, that's why I put it in today's language. Get ready to suffer every day. Why are you shocked when something happens that makes you suffer? The Lord is saying this. These aren't my words.
Amen.
I'm not preaching a religion that's a put me down kind of religion. The Lord is saying,
that's right.
If you really want to be like me,
yes.
Take up a mind that's ready to suffer every day.
Amen. Yes, sir.
I don't know why I walk out into the world. Every time I look, people look at me like, Jesus said, get ready for that.
Yes, sir. Amen.
You want, the world is not supposed to accept you. Well, they're doing it because I'm black. They do it because I'm white. I don't care what they're doing. They're doing it because you're a Christian.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Because I can tell you every single human being in some way suffers.
Yes,
but
sir.
That's not what he said. He said, your suffering, though, yes. is going to be because you've taken up a mind like mine and you're ready and know that you're doing it to my honor.
Yes, sir.
And you're following me. But Jesus is saying, if anyone, he's first of all, he says, I must suffer. Then if you want to be like me, he says, pick up your cross daily and follow me.
Yes, sir.
For whoever desires to save his life is going to lose it. Whoever wants so much comfort in his life, you're not going to have it.
Amen.
Yes?
But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it.
Whoever is willing to give up, suffer, even die for my sake, you're going to save it.
Amen.
Of course, he's speaking in things that are higher than just this life only.
Amen.
Carry on.
For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself?
What does it profit you if you gain the whole world and lose your soul?
Yes, sir. Amen.
You know, that old adage, whoever ends up with the most toys wins, that's not true. Jesus says the complete opposite.
Amen.
He says, whoever ends up believing in me wins.
That's right.
That's what Jesus says.
Amen.
He says, be willing to give up all your possessions. He doesn't say you have to become impoverished in order to be saved. His point is, don't be so attached to them.
Amen.
But none of us would chart a course for ourselves where suffering was involved. But, give me now Matthew 16:23. But to show you that Jesus was telling us that we don't reason like he does, he gave it very clearly to when he looked at Peter and said, get thee behind me, adversary.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
But that's, everyone knows that one, but that's not the words I want you to hear here. When he says, I got to go to the cross and do this thing. No, you said, read, please.
Matthew 16:23. But he turned and said unto Peter.
Let's go back a little bit further. From this time, from 21.
From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chiefs.
Are we hearing this word suffer enough in here today?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But didn't we all agree? Whatever God has allowed, we thank him for it.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Because he has allowed it. And his judgments are correct.
Yes, sir.
But you see how much suffering he's got going on in here, right? You see that, right, saints? He says he must go and suffer at the hands of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed even.
Yes.
And raised the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him.
Yes.
Here's that Peter again. Can you imagine? Can't you see Peter taking him by the shoulders? And you're going to rebuke Jesus. You shall not go to the cross. What did I just tell you I'm going to do? Mm. Go to the cross. But he took him. You're not going to the cross. Now, read on. I'll get you to
verse 22. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee.
So don't do this, Lord. You shall not do what God the Father wants you to do.
Mm. Yes.
Is that sin or is that sin?
Sin.
That's nothing but Satan using him. That's why he looked at Peter and said, use the term, get thee behind me, Satan.
Yes,
Satan
sir.
Means the adversary or the one that opposes. He's telling Peter right now, you're opposing the very will of God the Father.
Yes.
That's why he said, get thee behind me, Satan. Satan was using Peter.
Amen. Yes, sir.
At that very moment, Satan was using Peter, and notice the Jesus is brilliant, of course, but he uses the exact and appropriate term, adversary. Get away from me, adversary.
Mm.
Get thee behind me simply means, as we would say today, get away from me.
Yes.
And that also implies quickly, leave me now. You adversary, you're opposing God's will.
Mm.
Go ahead.
23, but he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto
you
me.
You offend me.
Mm-hmm.
Now here's the part I wanted to get to.
For thou savorest not the things that be of God.
You don't think like God, human beings.
No, sir. But those that be of men.
You think like men. Mm. That's why we think suffering is a bad thing.
Yes.
Now, Jesus says, all of you that want to be like me, you can offer no one salvation, but what you can do is take up your cross and follow me daily.
Amen.
And in all things, give thanks.
Amen.
Whether you understand it or not. That's right, mother. That's amen. Whether you understand it or not, thank the Lord.
Yes, sir. Thank the Lord.
And I tell you, being thankful is also a show to God that we're grateful. We're grateful for whatever he has allowed. Remember when he healed the 10 lepers, or the 10 people, the lepers, right? And only one went back. And what did he say? To show you that he appreciates gratitude. He said, but where are the 9?
Yes, sir.
Meaning, you did a good thing, son. You fine. But where are those ungrateful 9?
Yes, sir.
Ingratitude God hates.
Yes, sir.
You ever do something for somebody and act like, eh?
Yes, sir.
And you feel like taking something and... But then you go, no, let me be Jesus. Let me take up my cross and suffer that. Right? Or when someone takes it for granted, when you do something kind and they take it for granted. I always use the going through the door thing and you hold it and you deliberately hold it. Oh, I use this over and over. And they don't even say thank you. They walk through like, you should have held it. Do you know who I am? And you feel like... But then you say, no, why did I hold it? Do all things as unto Christ. I'm doing this for Christ's sake.
Amen.
You know?
Yes. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ shall suffer.
You are going to. Do you see why I'm saying this, saints? What do we start off with? That God knows what he's doing. Everything he sends in our lives, he allows. And then we amen it. I saw you, brother. And we are thankful. And we amen it. Whether we understand it or not, we get older and gravity takes over on the body. And how about when you start forgetting things? But you can always remember, thank you, Jesus. And I don't know if you have a 3-story house, 2-story house, you ever get all the way upstairs. See, and boy, you'll start thanking the Lord then. You say, what did I come up here for? You gotta look around and look. It wasn't shoes. I got shoes on. Then you gotta go all the way back downstairs. And then you say, oh, it was to get the... Then you try to keep it in your mind going back upstairs. It was the napkins. It was the napkins. It was napkins. Napkins. Those of you that are young now, you don't have that problem. But live, son, live.
That's the truth.
Get dressed, and you know you look good. You go downstairs, no necktie. Oh. You all don't know how many times I said the saints going to get a tie-less bishop today because I'm not going back upstairs. But these things happen, but thank the Lord. See, these things should cause us right away to thank you, Jesus. Because you're looking at that staircase. It's not like you can't use the exercise. But you're going, oh, thank you, Jesus. I remember hearing this all my life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. But Jesus, I wanted you to see that part where Jesus says, your mind is like man. It's not like, you wouldn't put suffering in your life. God True. Says, I did.
Amen.
Don't go out looking for it, saints. It's going to come. He didn't Amen. Say you have to live in a monastery or an abstain from I'm not going to have sex. Well, get married.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to see anything. Close my eyes so I won't be tempted. And then you'll run into walls. Mm-hmm. Now you need a hospital because you got a big knot on your head. He means have some self-control, right?
Amen.
Because our minds are men. Carnal. So when he says you're mindful, you're not mindful of, thou savorest not the things of God, but the things of man. You wouldn't put suffering in your life, God said, I would.
Yes.
What do we say to that? Thank you, Jesus. In all things, give thanks.
Amen.
Even when you don't understand why, when something seems to go against you, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Slipped and fell, hurt your, ooh, that knee. Ah, thank you, Jesus. Maybe he gave you another reason to call out to him with a sincerity of your... Whatever it is, thank the Lord.
Yes, sir.
In all things. Amen. Give thanks.
Yes, sir.
I already referenced 2 Corinthians 12:7 with the thorn in the side with Paul.
Yes, sir.
Now, wouldn't anyone think, well, surely he wants his main man, Paul, the energetic apostle, worked himself silly, tired. You would think surely he would hear his cry for this to be relieved from this thorn in the flesh. God says no.
Amen.
I'm keeping you from being conceited. Some of us pray, some of you pray to be rich. If I could just get these bills, I don't want to be rich, Lord, the bills. You know what? Those bills got you calling on them, don't they? You know, you're there, Jesus, help me with this bill. Oh, Lord, look at this bill. Jesus. I don't know how I'm going to pay this in the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus, get that down. Back on your knees again?
You ain't lying.
Think about it. In all things, give thanks. You don't know why the Lord has allowed what he has allowed. He's God, and he's God alone.
Yes,
let's
sir.
Let him do his job.
Amen.
In all things, give thanks.
Yes, sir.
Let me, I'm trying to draw to a conclusion here. First Peter. First Peter, saints, please read this with me. I want you to see this. I'm not just talking for my health. I want you to see this. This is the Lord talking to you. This is not Omega. This is the Lord. 1 Peter 1:6.
Wherein ye greatly rejoice.
In this, you slightly, begrudgingly bring out a rejoice.
Greatly rejoice.
I want you to see this. Saints, where is your mind? Didn't Jesus just say, you think like man, you're not thinking like God. Mm-hmm. Here's how God wants you to think. See, in this you greatly rejoice.
Yes.
Most of us don't greatly rejoice because we get to suffer. Ooh, we're going to suffer. Because they'll say you sound masochistic. That's not the rejoice here he's talking about. In this you greatly rejoice.
Though now for a season.
Though now for a little while.
If need be.
If need be.
Ye are in heaviness through manifold temptation.
You're grieved by many various trials.
Yes.
But in this you greatly rejoice. What do you greatly rejoice in?
That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold.
That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold.
That perisheth.
That gold only perishes.
Though it be tried with fire.
Though you are tried with fire.
Yes.
The hardships in life. Though you're tried. This is what you greatly rejoice in.
Might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ.
Don't worry about it. When you see Jesus, amen.
Amen.
When I see Jesus, that's what, amen. That's what that means.
Yes, sir.
Even though if right now you're suffering a little while.
Amen.
When I see Jesus,
amen. When I see Jesus,
hey,
amen.
That's what the word says.
When I see Jesus, amen.
1 Peter 1:6 and 7.
All my fire will be over.
Come on.
When I see Jesus, amen.
1 Peter 1, 6 and 7.
All my trials will be over when I see Jesus. Amen.
Come on, one more time.
When I see Jesus. Amen.
When I see Jesus.
Amen.
All my trials
will be over.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Minister. Thank you, man. May be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ when he comes, when we see him. That's what it's all about.
Amen.
Though now we're tried for a while. Though now you have many grievous things we go through. Tested by fire, meaning the very hardships of life. Yeah, but it's all going to be worth it. It's going to be honor, glory when we see Jesus. That's what it's all about. That's what this life is about. Without sounding self-righteous, I want you to see that is in Scripture. Romans 5:3 says troubles are for a reason.
Amen.
They make us able to endure with perseverance. In other words, with patience.
Yes, sir.
The Lord sends us troubles, Romans 5:3.
And not only so, but we glory in tribulations.
Saints,
also.
Listen to this. Listen. It sounds masochistic to the world. It sounds foolish to the world. But that's the thinking of man, not the thinking, not the mind of God. Thou savorest not the things that are of God, Peter,
Amen.
But the things of man.
Yes, sir.
And the scripture is saying clearly.
And not only so, but we glory in tribulations.
We
also.
Glory. Saints, I want you to understand something. When things are going rough for you, you're supposed to say to yourself, this just means glory's coming.
Amen.
And I know, I don't know why some of you all tend to forget this one. When we're going through trials, I know his power is on me.
Amen.
Can you just
yes, sir.
Sitting right there on your head?
Yes, sir. Amen to that.
That's how you have to see it.
Yes, sir.
Don't become despondent and mean and curse your brother or sister or yes. whoever else it is, taking out all your loved ones or whoever. No. More troubles? Get happy.
Amen.
We glory. You know why? It's proof God loves me.
Yes, sir.
You say, but wait a minute. The world suffers too, and some of them are not even of the faith of Christianity. They're not disciples of Jesus. But the Lord himself says, but when you suffer.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Understand, your bank account just increased.
Amen.
Oh, no, not the one on the corner next to your house. No, not that bank account. Your bank account in heaven.
Yes, sir.
Just overflowed.
Amen.
Every time you suffer.
Yes, sir.
You just got richer. That's what the Bible's saying. This is not hype for a Sunday service. It's the truth. It's right there in Scripture.
Amen.
And the sufferings are put in our lives to make us patient and able to endure, to persevere. And you wake up the next day having been through a heart procedure, a cancer, or whatever it is, and you wake up the next day and you say, one step closer to glory.
Amen.
And look, I'm still here able to praise the Lord. And I know it's glory coming. He said, count it as glory. In this we glorify.
Yes.
By this I know. Paul didn't say I guess. I know his power rests upon me.
Amen.
Some of you are going to leave here today and somebody's going to rub you the wrong way. You should just say to yourself, I just got richer. I tell you this too. You really shocked them. You pass by, you say, didn't we just leave church? And you're acting like this. Oh, I'm sorry. Hey, how you doing? Because I just got richer. By this, I know his power rests upon me. Troubles are put in our lives to make us appreciate the Lord more, to make us know what's coming. In this we glory. Look at these words. Pay attention to the verbiage. In this we glory.
Amen.
In what? In the troubles that beset me in my life. By what? By the troubles I constantly endure. I Amen. Know his power rests upon me.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Satan only wants those that loves God. He's got the others. You love Jesus Christ, he wants you.
Amen.
So the Lord will allow him to put another thorn in your flesh, another impediment in your pathway. And for that, you just call on the Lord more. And remember Job, though he slay me.
Amen.
Care,
yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Whatever comes my way, yet you're not going to get me to stop trusting in him. I'm going to keep on trusting in him. Amen. By this, I know his power rests upon me.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
If you desire to live holy, righteous, a good life, it's something's coming your way.
Amen. That's true.
The devil knows that you are susceptible to addiction. Oh, he's going to show you the best drugs and best place to get them. But then there's a remedy in Scripture. Resist the devil,
yes.
and he'll flee from you.
Amen.
You have to put up some resistance. How do you do that? Relying on the Lord.
Amen.
Tell yourself every time you're tempted, nope, I'm going to glorify God today. And you might trip up once in a while, slip. But get right back to, I'm going to glorify God today.
Amen.
He knows your sickness is sexual addiction or whatever it is. Nope, going to glorify God today. Whatever it is, whatever the weakness is, glorify God.
Amen.
And by this you'll know his power is resting upon you because you're challenged and tested every day. God put those tests in your life.
Yes, sir.
He allowed those troubles in your life. But you see what it did for Jesus? It made him obedient unto the cross.
Amen.
Made him ready to be the author of eternal salvation.
Amen.
Say, speak for yourself. For me.
For me.
He saved me.
Saved
did
me.
He save you? Speak for yourself. In all things give thanks.
Not only so, but we glory in tribulations.
Glory
also,
in tribulation.
Knowing that tribulation worketh patience.
Knowing that going through things brings me the ability to endure patience.
Amen. Amen.
And when it says patience, it just doesn't mean just to endure the pain, now I'm done with it. No. To endure with patience and still keep believing. Patience. Holding on to the Lord. No matter what. No matter what comes. God knows what he's doing by allowing you to go through things. Let me go to James. We did James 4:15.
Yes, sir.
Let's end with this one. I like this one. And when you pray, Luke 22:42.
Yes, sir.
When you pray, saints. Yeah, he did say ask for anything you want in his name. He didn't. Didn't he say that?
Yes,
but let's remember this one thing when you do pray. Always leave room for God to change your plans.
Yes, sir.
Always leave room for God to change your plans. And no matter how he does change them, we're just going to be thankful.
Luke 22:42. Saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me.
Father, if you be willing, heal everyone in here of all their infirmities and their weaknesses.
Nevertheless.
Lord, in heaven, if you're willing. Give everyone their honest heart's desire.
Yes.
Father, in Jesus' name, give everyone comfort of heart in Jesus' name.
Amen.
But
nevertheless, not my will.
I just asked for this, Father, but I want to make something clear here.
Mm-hmm.
You are God alone, and
Amen.
You're in control.
Yes, sir.
So that's what I asked. But I want you to know that I'm with you. However, I planned that prayer.
Yes, sir.
But however you want to twist it and change it, I want you to know this.
Nevertheless, thy will be
done. Thy will be done. In all things, give thanks. God bless you all. Peace be unto you.
The preceding program originated from the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ of the Apostolic Faith, located in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, on Apostolic Square at 22nd and Bainbridge Streets. Bishop Omega, Apostle, and General Overseer. Sunday worship begins at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Write to Bishop Omega at Post Office Box 3880, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19146. On behalf of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ of the Apostolic Faith, Bishop Omega wishes you the peace, love, and joy of Christ always.